Ad Infinitum is the only podcast solely focused on audio ads.
Advertising.
The creatives who make them and or the latest thinking that informs them, how the space is evolving, and my favorite part, a roundup of recent audio ads and analysis by yours truly, Stu Redwine, VP Creative at Oxford Road, and each episode's guest. This is season 2, episode 3 of Ad Infinitum, and this episode's title is Branding with Your Eyes Closed, defining and discussing the importance of sonic branding, and then we're going to be ranking 4 recent top spenders in radio through that lens, and that is why our guest is Joel Beckerman, author of Sonic Boom and founder of Made Music, a person who is practically synonymous with sonic branding. Whenever the topic comes up with anyone who is serious about it, Joel's name is at the top of the list. So thank you so much for joining Ad Infinitum, and welcome, Joel.
Pleasure, Stu, and thank you so much for the compliment there. It's a nice intro. Can I use that somewhere else too?
Go right ahead. I'm telling you, anybody that I'm talking to about this, as it's becoming more front of mind for many of us in marketing, Made Music and Joel Beckerman comes up again and again and again. And that's, you know, this trend, like I'm talking about, we're seeing with more and more studies that are out there, which is great. Like just in the past couple of weeks, MediaProbe Neuro Study revealed that radio advertising is 12% more engaging than TV ads. It's like, okay, that's interesting. And they talk about why that is because of the theater of the mind and the connection in the brain, that you're actually not distracted when you're focused on an auditory input. And where I want to hear from you is that, like, yes, we're getting increased attention in this space, that it's like, hey, having a sonic brand helps with recall and helps with intent, and we see helps with performance. But this last one, there's 96% more likely to be recalled when it fits the brand. Like the importance of taking it seriously and designing it with purpose, that's what I'd like to hear from you about here at first.
Yeah, and that's an amazing piece of the research. The other really amazing piece of the research is when you think about, if you love the sound associated with the brand, you are more likely to want to have that experience again. And the corollary is also true. If the sound doesn't fit or you don't like it, you're more likely to never have that experience again. So it's pretty potent stuff.
And when you think about that, how do you get other people on board with taking it deadly serious based on that kind of impact that it can have?
Look, we all love data, and data is really what it's about now, especially in terms of understanding, like we want to know the real impact of what we're doing. So I think data is a big help in this. I think also understanding in campaigns over time, listen, you have visual identities. There are visual identity systems that are consistent. The McDonald's is never going to get rid of the golden arches. These, you know, sonic assets are designed to do exactly the same thing, carry you through the entire experience of that brand for your life. So again, these memory triggers are so powerful from a sound perspective. It's the quickest sense that human beings will react to, which makes it really the arbiter of all our senses because we respond to it quickest. And there's a human reason for that, and it's survival of the species, because you needed to know if the sound on the other side of the bush was going to be your dinner or you were going to become dinner. So this really is something that is basic and so intrinsic, as you're saying. A lot of this is not even stuff you're thinking about. It operates on this subconscious level, which makes it so powerful. So I think it's a combination of data to help people understand it and also to help them feel it. Quite frankly, you can see how it makes you feel, or, gee, I didn't never even thought about that, but instantly that reminds me of that brand. And I think those are, you know, the sort of aha moments when you feel it yourself.
Yeah. And when you talk about the sonic boom moment, that when a sound activates these memories inside of us, it's not just associated with memory, but, you know, you talk about how sound is processed there and associates to fear, joy, even our visual perception, physical sensation, movement, and even our sense of self when we get these different auditory inputs. And I noticed that in like the talks and presentations that I was listening to and, you know, and preparing to talk to you, that you do a really good job of using sound effects as part of your presentations to deliver the point you're trying to make.
Yeah, and I think furthermore, really, sound is really the most efficient sense. It takes the least amount of time to trigger those boom moments, and they have tremendous impact over that very, very short period of time. We actually had a Fortune 100 company client who said, sound is the most leveraged item on our balance sheet. So when you think about all the things that benefit the brand, all the things that benefit sales, they felt that using consistent sonic brand assets really made everything else they did more effective.
That is an awesome quote. Sound is the most leveraged item on our balance sheet. You know, we found with one of our advertisers that they have a UX sound, a sound that's part of their app that is a positive feedback loop. When a certain thing occurs, you get this sound. And we have integrated that even into live reads where we have hosts play the sound and talk about how it makes them feel. And like anecdotally, I can say there's a correlation where when we see the compliance with hosts actually using the sound and making it part of their read, we see a direct link there to performance. And that's just incredible to me because I think it's working. Like, you know, how much of that is the Sonic branding? And then how much of that is just that shortcut of them hearing the sound and interacting with it makes them more lively and give, you know, a more personal and impassioned connection? I don't know completely, but I do know, like you're saying, data driven, when we look at it, we see higher compliance on using of the sound effect in the live read, we'd see better performance.
Yeah, and I think in association with that, obviously, I'm sure this impacts other aspects of audio advertising podcasts, but, you know, having the sound in association with someone you trust, that there is an authenticity that I think the idea is it's part of your life. It becomes part of the soundtrack of your life rather than you're being trying to be sold something. So it doesn't surprise me that that data is so much higher.
And then that's what's interesting to me is, you know, looking at Wark, they put out a study with iHeart, and we've seen this bear out and kind of continue. It's a couple of years old, but 30% of Jane and Joe Public's time is spent, consumers' time in media. 30% of it is spent in audio, but only 10% of ad dollars are spent in audio. So it's 3x the time of the amount of spend that goes into the space. And then I got to imagine that it's an even thinner slice of people that are willing to invest in developing a sonic strategy or a sonic identity. Have you found that the case as well as you've been doing Made Music, that, you know, audio can be treated as so much of an afterthought? What has your experience been with that?
I think spot on. That's been our experience. And again, I think it's just about education. Even though sonic branding's been around for a little while, I think people are just sort of catching on the power of it. Also, it's not particularly easy to do it right. Not all sonic branding is created equal. And I think if somebody were to just put a few notes at the end of the spot or beginning of a spot, that may not seem to lift if it's not done correctly. I think the process is very rigorous. It's really about unpacking what a brand should feel like from an emotional standpoint, triggering emotions in terms of listening to music and having those conversations with the marketing teams. Hey, let's make sure that we're all in alignment as to what the brand should sound like or feel like in association with all their communications. Then the next step really is, okay, now we really need to get into the creative aspect of this. And what are we going to design that's going to fit within the landscape of where the brand shows up? Certainly in television advertising, radio advertising, it's fairly straightforward, still powerful, still underutilized. I think one of the really interesting things to look at is all the new media that might be digital media, that where those opportunities exist, thinking about the effectiveness there. For instance, PepsiCo does it right. They really focus on pop culture and really about fan interaction, really being connected to pop culture, creating culture, and also reflecting culture. We were fortunate enough to work on one of their projects for Tostitos, where we created a sonic branding system and a theme. And again, you really need to play by the rules of the medium. So TikTok has, again, it's a very engagement-focused medium. So for us to have put out a track and had some influencers rap over the track or sing over the track, do different things in association with the track, it drove 110 million impressions. There were countless duets where, you know, different everyday folks spending time on TikTok were engaging with this. And part of it was they were smart enough to develop a contest. And that contest, you know, which was a relatively modest output contest, honestly, people were doing it for bragging rights more than anything else, but that really drove engagement as well. So I think whether it's traditional media advertising or these sort of more nascent media, I think a lot of people are not necessarily as aware of how effective it is, that it really is a need to have now and not a nice to have. As you said, there's so much media now that is audio first or audio only. It really is the only way for somebody to feel the brand. It's one thing to hear about the brand, to have a description or a discussion or talk about benefits of a brand, and it's a whole other thing to hear and feel a brand. And what's the other thing that's interesting is even in television advertising, and again, to your point, people will remember and really connect with and have a sonic boom moment with a brand in television advertising, you know, in association with a normal ad. If you're in the kitchen and you're making a ham sandwich, we call it the ham sandwich factor, and you hear that Sonic logo in the other room on TV, even if you're not looking at it, you still have that powerful boom moment of impression, as you talked about, which is multisensory.
To me, it's like a boom moment. My personal measuring stick is goosebumps. And if I think about it, I've probably had more goosebumps to songs or some kind of sound. I can think of other moments, maybe in a movie or something, but by and large, it's mostly sound-based. And to your TikTok point, you know, Home Depot had a moment with all of the, like, dad videos on TikTok using the Home Depot beat that are just hilarious, you know. Home Depot's got that song, you know it's Home Depot, and then it just gets a life of its own out there on TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, people like to play with those icons. They like to make it their own, even if it's, not to say that Home Depot is, but even if it's sort of more goofier marks. I think about State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is. So even if you have that on TikTok and people are playing with it, it becomes, again, something that you're co-creating with this kind of quirky, iconic sound. So it's fun. It's engaging because it's fun. I think just to take a quick step back, you were talking about thinking about films. It's interesting. I think if you went and you did A-B testing on that film and you took the sound out, even if you kept the dialogue in, would you feel the same thing?
No, I wouldn't. I was reading your book and it made me think of that, you know, because you talk about watching The Exorcist and all of a sudden you put on clown music and it makes it freaking hilarious. There was some scary movie I was watching with my daughters where I loaded up fart noises like from a YouTube video and turned the music off on the scary movie and just started every time there's like a gruesome face or something, there's a fart noise. Like it changes everything.
You know, maybe if there's a Sonic Boom book too that I can put in the fart noise. I love that example.
Well, something I wanted to ask you about is I've been digging into this the past couple of years. I've been at Oxford Road since the beginning, and we were born in podcasts, out of radio, into podcasts, and scaling D2C brands that want to test and scale in audio. If it works, we'll spend more. And then it's been in the past 2-3 years that it's like I'm late to the Sonic branding party, but I've really gotten into it and, you know, reading everything that I can, like your book and getting to meet people. And really just there's that part of me that's curious and excited about it. And at first, I got to admit, like when I came into it, it was kind of like it's arbitrary, like whatever, the NBC chimes. But what I've noticed is the ones that have the staying power were very intentionally designed. The Sonic logos or the Sonic identities, any of the top ones that are going to come to mind, if you drill down on the story, they were designed to solve a specific business problem or a functional problem, like in the case of the chimes, right? With intent. And so our audience are what we call chief audio officers, which are the people that are in charge of setting and stewarding audio budgets for brands. And it can be a lot of different people. Certain size brands, it's the founder. And then you go on up the chain, it's the CMO, whoever. So we just call them all chief audio officers. They're the one that's responsible for deploying the dollars in audio and making sure that they work. So I kind of want to do a little definition of terms and of what the most important part is for the chief audio officer as they're approaching Sonic branding. And it seems to me that like the first thing you need to identify, there's a couple things, I guess, and maybe you can help me with the taxonomy, is I think Sonic branding is one thing, your Sonic identity is another thing, and then what specific business problem are you trying to solve? But I'm trying to get my arms wrapped around the lexicon. Like, how do you think of it as like, what are the base pieces that a person needs to get in their head that's in charge of deploying dollars in audio?
I mean, that's a great question. And this really goes back to what we were talking about rigor in the process. Not all Sonic branding is created equal. Again, a lot of people who are just getting to know this, and it's not to talk down on anybody. It's just, this is kind of very specific, unique stuff. A lot of times we talk about in our company when we're creating Sonic identity systems that the people we're dealing with are experts in absolutely everything in their job except this. And we really need to bring a lot of empathy to that and a lot of patience and discussions. You know, by the way, it's not a one-way conversation. We really need to understand from their perspective what the brand should feel like. And a lot of times, you know, as you're saying, solving a particular business problem, a lot of times it's really about shifting perception. And a lot of times it's about leading transformations of a brand. When you're talking about taking a brand and moving the positioning forward, a lot of times you can take an existing Sonic identity and tweak it. Hey, now we're more about technology. Hey, we're more about what the product does for you, it's really specifically about benefits. There's all sorts of ways to do that. And again, I think to go back to what you're talking about, it's not just about a Sonic logo. It's very easy to think about Sonic logos because they're very much kind of present. You know, usually the Sonic logos, there's a lot of, at least a certain amount of space that's left for them. But as you were speaking to this, it really a Sonic identity system, the same way you have a visual identity system, you don't just have a visual logo. You have all the different elements, shapes, colors, guidelines about what you're supposed to use where. You can't have a Sonic logo in every experience.
Yeah, and what I hear you saying is it's like we need to define a Sonic identity system that is going to be deployed using different Sonic branding tactics to solve specific business problems. And like that taxonomy could be kind of built out in that way. And what I think of is like you already have a Sonic identity. However you are showing up, like you could start there. You can start at, like we use a lot of, we have over the years, especially in the early days of DTC, used a ton of founder as spokesperson and with ads that have a massive amount of frequency. And it's like, well, their Sonic identity for now is that founder's voice, right? That's at least a starting place. Hey, however you're currently showing up in audio, as scattered as it may be, let's at least define it and then see if we can pull it into line.
I think it's a good point. The question always is, does it serve the brand? Is it an element that does serve the brand that, as you've been talking about, increases effectiveness? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But does it make people feel good and do you get credit for it? Getting credit for is a really big part of it. So 20x value, 20x performance on the same amount of media spend. What you're pointing to is, again, we were talking about before about having data to help people see the effectiveness. So gee, if it's that effective, maybe it's worth my time to really kind of dig in and understand this, even if I haven't done it before.
Exactly. You're right. You know, and I think the thing that you do well is using some examples where you play some sounds for folks to get them in that frame of mind. Once the heart decides and the head will follow, then we can come in with the facts to back it up to go, hey, this stuff works.
Yeah. So really the process is very much about understanding the brand. What should the brand feel like? As you talked about, what business problems is it solving? And really, you want to make sure that the brand sounds unlike any other brand. It's like this could only be for you. So that exploratory process takes time. You need to look at competitive sets, see what your actual direct competitors are doing, what other people, maybe even in different verticals, are doing. Again, there's a lot of rigor to this. Then you work on the creative portion, which again, we all know is incredibly important because we have to trust our gut in terms of, hey, we're going to have the right Sonic boom moment that's being created. And then there are ways to actually apply testing to that as well, which is through implicit association testing. And certainly there may be a lot of people who are familiar with that from other parts of their job. But it's one thing, again, if you ask people only questions that are specifically around conscious experience, I think you miss a dimension that's super important because sound really does impact our subconscious mind. So in this particular implicit association testing, there is a version of this we call Sonic Pulse Research, was designed specifically for audio in this development phase of audio. But if you work through methodology that gets you to a subconscious readout, you can really figure out what solutions are going to really move the needle.
Thank you for taking us through that approach. And that's what I've experienced from reading your work and listening to you. And then, like I said, all the greatest examples of Sonic branding had a thoughtful, measured approach to getting to the final result of the ones that we all know and love. So now let's see how some of the top spenders in audio, these are people that are deploying hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars in radio, are showing up in audio and how they make us feel. And the first one is a 15-second spot from Whole Foods. And just to kind of be comparing apples to apples, I chose four advertisers that are top spenders in the month of March. And that is Whole Foods, Xfinity, Comcast, and VIX, and specifically VIX Sinex. And the spend against all of these spots is about the same, upper hundreds of thousands of dollars against these spots. One of them in particular has much more spend, but let's go ahead and give a listen. So this is a 15 from Whole Foods.
Spring back to life at Whole Foods Market. Get five yellow mangoes for just $4.50 with Prime through March 21st. Brighten up your smoothies and salads and pounce on this deal now while supplies last. Shop in-store or online. Terms apply.
All right, so that's the first one. Joel, we'll rate all four of them. From a Sonic branding standpoint, what would you rate that out of 1 out of 10? 10 being the best.
Well, let's assume that they're consistent with that over time, because that's really number one is that consistency. If you use this once, you're not going to really get, I think, the benefit. Now, if I listen to this and I think about Whole Foods, because I'm a shopper at Whole Foods, it's like, wow, this really kind of connects me to the brand. This sort of feels like it's, you know, at least somewhat of a close fit. I want to go there and I want to kind of browse around and relax and kind of look at things and not get a chance to taste things. So it feels very connected and probably something, again, if they're consistent with it, maybe they did variations, that it really could do some good work for them.
From an Audiolytic standpoint, which is the framework that we use to construct and grade ads here at Oxford Road, the high score for an Audiolytics graded spot is 90%. That's our goal for all in-market creative. And this spot came in at a 68%. Probably mostly owing to its length, but it's doing a lot right. Like as far as information transfer, like you said, it feels like Whole Foods Market. It's giving you something specific. It's giving you a specific date with an offer. There could just perhaps be even more of an emotional hook, like in the setup. The setup is lacking a little bit. And perhaps even though it's a 15, it's short, is there something that you could substantiate a bit beyond just saying that you're Whole Foods Market, something about the mangoes or some additional trust boosting that could be added into the spot as well. So it came in at a 68% in Audiolytics, knowing that the high score for Audiolytics is a 90%. Are you willing to give this one a number? Do you want to hear the next one? And then you can give a number based on those two.
I'm going to try to defend my position on this, because I bet if you only heard a few of these ads with the same piece of music, you would recognize it very quickly. You would have that memory trigger, that boom moment in association with this advertising. So I'd be really interested to see how this performs over time.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And that's the unfair aspect of ad infinitum. But what I like about it is everyone's just hearing these ads in the wild. And sometimes we can forget just to experience it like other people experience it. So let me pull up the next one here. This next one is for Vix. Here we go.
Nothing slows my little girl down except a stuffy nose.
Mommy.
That's why I use Sinex Children Saline from Vicks. Sinex instantly clears mucus and everyday stuffy little noses with a gentle, ultra-fine mist designed for kids. Just Sinex? Breathe. Her stuffy nose is gone for now. And so is she.
Sinex Children Saline. Sinex? Breathe. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
It's interesting. Like, I think that the most effective Sonic branding here is the kids with the stuffy nose and breathing in. Whether they can own that Sonic brand, I don't know what other people are doing in the vertical, but that's what I would remember. The song is kind of, or the, you know, the underscores, it's a bit innocuous. I guess they use the whistle to sort of have you, you know, put you in the mindset of it's for kids. But I don't know if that was their intent around the kid sound. But, you know, that's, again, theater of the mind in radio. It's very powerful stuff.
That's a really great point. It's amazing we hear these things, but then we can visualize them in our mind and I think there's a whole bunch that could be explored there. But the point is, we know that that's what happens. And what you're calling out is that this spot does that well. It also graded better with Audiolytics. It got a 72%. And it, interestingly, I think it has some of the same gaps that the Whole Foods one did, where it's like it's missing some facts, but due to its length, it was able to have some more information in there. And again, Audiolytics is based on text, like, you know, the information that's present. So as you go shorter to keep a higher score, you've got to be really, you got to make every word really, really, really count. Same kind of stuff with this one, only where it's different than Whole Foods is it doesn't have any kind of special offer like that could help, or even tying into the seasonality or something like that. Or direct comparison to other options that are out there. Again, these are sometimes they're tough notes to give because it's like, we don't have the time. But sometimes it's shocking how much you can accomplish in even just a short amount of time. So if you had to now assign numbers between Whole Foods and Vicks, or even just say one was better than the other, from a Sonic branding standpoint, from Joel Beckerman's point of view, which one would you rank above the other, knowing they're not even the same length? I get that.
Well, let's assume for a moment that Whole Foods was an original piece of music, because it could be a piece of library music and you really can't own it from a Sonic perspective. But let's assume that it's original. I would have to go with that because I think that as great as the Synex use of sound, I think it would be very hard to own that over time. How many little girls and how many spots are you going to have where you have the same little girl? Now, think about Progressive, okay? Progressive Insurance, they've had exactly the same actress for probably 10 years, and she's become, in a lot of ways, the Sonic brand of Progressive.
Exactly, yes. We were talking about Sonic identity systems, and that's really the important part, right? And solving business problems. Okay, it's easy to jump to the tactics part, but if we're in tactics land, I do think it's like, okay, you've got to be sonically distinct. And I often think there's not much that is equally as distinct as an individual's voice, or specifically, you know, particular voices, and particularly a voice that we're exposed to a lot. Like that in and of itself, like you're saying, that establishes a sonic brand just using the same voice over and over and over and over again. And to your point, it does connect to the brand, because with Flo, it's like they're humanizing and personifying this human touch of a very commoditized space.
Just to speak a little further to it, because you were sort of intimating, it can't be an identity system. It's not going to play everywhere. It's going to really play very well in traditional linear media, not so much in digital, although you can use it in digital, I imagine, but you can't use it in immersive experiences. You can't use it as a TikTok having some kind of a duet. I'm not sure that would work with Flo.
So parsing your point out for the CAOs that are listening, Flo, the specific voice is a tactic. It cannot be your system, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think absolutely true. And also it's about flexibility. Can you use it everywhere the brand shows up? That's really what we think about. It's, we need to come up with the perfect sound that speaks the language of the brand, that solves the business problem, and that can be applied everywhere. That is really the North Star. When we've gotten it right, it does all those things.
Well, let's see if Comcast does all those things. So here's the next spot. It's for Comcast. And this is now a 60 with relatively similar spend as the other ones that we've seen in the month of March on national radio. Here we go.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, Cybersecurity Solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
See why Comcast Business powers more small businesses than anyone else. Get started with fast speeds and advanced security for $49 a month for 12 months with a two-year contract when you add one unlimited mobile line. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with a qualifying gig bundle. Don't wait. Call to switch today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 100 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
All right, Joel.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, there's just no room for the sound to even speak. So I can't imagine that, well, you certainly can't create a sonic identity if you're not giving the sonic identity some kind of room to speak. The other thing is, I would say that this definitely seems to me like a piece of library music. It's somewhat unoffensive or non-offensive. It has a very common little blues riff. It's just a blues track. Again, I don't think this works hard for the brand at all.
I don't disagree. I also think this one feels to me like somebody heard that having two voices in a radio spot performs better than one, which is what the research shows. So they did 30 seconds with one voice and then 30 seconds with the other. Like, it sounds like two, you know, there's the male VO at the beginning. Like, that was a 30 that we just listened to in total. And then there was a second 30 with the female voice, where it just, there's nothing that's making this thing sing. From an audiolytics standpoint, good amount of information is transmitted. It's got a 75%, but it's still not where we would want something to be. And that is, you know, it's lacking an emotional connection at the beginning. You know, it starts business, you know, it's just a pretty direct way to let you know what we're going to be talking about here. So there's more we could work with from a message standpoint, but from a sonic identity standpoint, there's nothing here to me that signals, I mean, this could be anybody, right?
I would agree. And I think the other point that you made earlier, Stu, which I think is super important, is that These ads need to be designed with Sonic in mind. You can't just throw sound or music underneath something that's already been created. I think this is really rule number one. If as a brand, you can't commit to utilizing the Sonic identity in a way that it can do work for you, which is to leave a little space for it, to be strategic about where you put it in spots, unless it's really a mandatory, it's not going to do the work for you. Quite frankly, it's really not worth doing Sonic branding unless you're going to commit to it and being consistent and designing the messaging around it.
Exactly. Unless you're going to do it well and be thoughtful on how to approach it, then honestly, your best bet is probably to do less. And that's where just recently there was one more study that I wanted to mention that Veritonic had partnered with Real Eyes, where they did an audio attention study, and that they arrived at what has long been a go-to-market position for Oxford Road when someone's new to audio, is that we've taken the position of less distraction, of single speaking voice, no sound design, no music, for a clearer signal for a test, really clearly articulate your message using the Audiolytics formula, and just have a single voice that does the work for you. And this recent study with Veritonic, you know, came out with data that showed that ads that have less competing elements performed better as far with attention quality. And I don't want to say with that then that's what you should always do. I'm really saying that to say, if you're going up against a spot like this that has more, I'll say it so you don't have to, has more sonic trash in it, right? Like you call out in your book, you'd be better off doing one of these voices with nothing behind it and just dialing in your message and making every word work hard, or do what you're saying, really commit to sonic branding and create the space to do that. So we have one more advertiser. We'll see if they are doing that. We're going to listen to a spot from Xfinity. It is also a 60. And this spot in particular has, as of our view in Vivix, almost $1 million of spend against this spot. Blows my mind, Joel. Someone spent $1 million. Okay, here we go. This is what $1 million sounds like, buddy.
Want more speed? Then you're in luck, because Xfinity just increased their internet speeds, and they're faster than ever. Plus, with super fast internet and a reliable connection, you can do more of what you love whenever you want. More gaming, more downloading, more video chatting, and more cozy nights on the couch streaming your favorite movies and TV shows. If life at double the speed is sounding pretty awesome, that's because it is. It's time to get more out of your internet with faster speeds from Xfinity. Get 150 megabit Xfinity internet for only $25 a month for 12 months with no annual contract. That's double the speed for half the price. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Equipment, taxes, and other charges extra. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
So that one came in at a 70% with Audiolytics. It was lacking some more specific demonstration is the key component we talk about, which is how something works, which it might kind of feel like, well, I thought it did. They're talking to a degree about how you experience it, but they could be more explicit and clear about exactly what's on offer. Again, this one suffers in the setup where, you know, how do we get into the ad, as well as it could improve in scarcity and stacking itself up against the competitors. But from a message standpoint, 70%, all of these scores, 68, 72, 75, 70, aren't shocking to me. It's kind of what I'm used to seeing. And then it's like, okay, let's get in the gym and let's get more clear about our competition, or just make our words work a little bit harder, guys, and get this thing up to fighting form. But from a sonic branding standpoint, so far, I mean, all of these are feeling pretty lackluster. Did you hear anything different here with Xfinity?
Well, again, I don't see how this specifically connects to their brand and not a competitor. It could really be anyone in their space. I do need to point out one thing that, from a production standpoint, did seem really like somebody sort of knew that a music change, going to a different section of music over a little bit of space and voiceover, that would grab people's attention. Unfortunately, I don't think there was anything that was memorable or specifically connected to their brand, but that idea of being able to leave space to essentially design around music, to think about it that way, there at least was some thought around that.
So you'd give them some points for that. So if I was going to rank these using the Joel Beckerman system, I think I've got it. It would be Whole Foods, Vicks, Xfinity Comcast.
I think you got it.
Exactly. Okay. And Audiolytics had them in the order of Comcast, VIX, Xfinity, Whole Foods. But like I said, all of these are within pretty much the same zone. I think the stuff that you're calling out and calling our attention to, I think just to be clear for the CIOs, I think the observation you just made on Xfinity is interesting about, you know, at least there was some intentionality. But if we're to take the two extreme examples, Whole Foods is number one and Comcast is number four. Like if you had three rules of the road or like why you graded them that way for those chief audio officers that are listening, what would those be?
First of all, just to say, I'd be really interested if they did the Sonic branding right, how much of a lift they would see. So as you said, these were somewhat successful, all basically in the same range, but there are definitely missed opportunities here that would be great to sort of see what that would be. So again, just to sort of recap, the idea of what the music is doing for Whole Foods is it feels brand connected. It feels like it has some kind of a sound. Again, I don't know if this is original or library, but there's a melodic idea with a whistle to it, which feels somewhat unique, I think somewhat ownable with the right frequency. I feel like that did a lot to lift what was there. A couple of things that they did right was they did leave space for the messaging. I wouldn't call this sonic trash. It certainly was not competing with the messaging. It certainly wasn't annoying. We talked about that 86% not wanting to have it experience again. I think this one would fit in the 86% of wanting to have this experience again. The other thing that they did right, and again, I suspect that if there were a group of spots, a number of messages that came across, you know, over the course of several quarters, that sonic brand or sonic identity would become instantly recognizable. I don't think people would have to even hear the words Whole Foods and know who it is, which is enormously valuable.
And so that last point is really something you've come back to a lot, which is the value of this stuff over time.
Yeah, I'm sure it's no surprise to any of the chief audio officers that, as you've coined the phrase, that frequency really matters. And it especially matters in sonic branding because, again, there's such a huge lift that's available in the consistency just from our experience anecdotally. 18 months into a sonic branding program, if you're consistent with it, you can see a real lift in terms of the effectiveness of the advertising.
I believe it. I mean, one of the big voices in radio advertising, like from the past couple of decades back, is this guy, Roy Williams, out of Austin, Texas. And that's something he talks about a lot. Like, you know, he doesn't even want to look at a schedule. We're talking about a radio schedule that isn't a year commitment, right? There's just something about audio that intrinsically seems to work better the longer you're committed to it.
I mean, you're building memory triggers, and that's particularly really what makes audio so effective.
We are farmers.
Liberty, liberty.
Like a good neighbor.
Thank you, Joel. This has been a great conversation. Awesome to meet you and talk about all this stuff and then go through some real world examples with you. And just again, to recap for the chief audio officers, you know, what we heard in the spots that were doing it wrong was like, they're doing a couple of things they could do better. Yeah, we could hit the gym and kind of get in fighting form, but let's focus on who's doing it right. Whole Foods had, you know, if nothing else, have music that feels connected to your brand, create some space, even in a 15 second. And just the value of being committed over time. If you were just to do those three things, you are going to see a positive impact. Like, I'm convinced. Of course you are. Thank you, Joel, for joining Ad Infinitum. And where can people find you?
We are at mademusicstudio.com. Also, the shameless plug on the book, The Sonic Boom. You covered a lot of great elements of that. And I think there's even some more detail that might be informative and also amusing.
No question. I highly recommend reading The Sonic Boom. Just like you said, it's outstanding and it just lays it out. And frankly, there aren't a ton of resources out there, particularly from practitioners. So that's what I like about Sonic Boom is like you've done it and you can talk about real world examples, which obviously I'm all about real world examples. So thanks again. And if you've got aspects of audio advertising you'd like us to discuss or suggestions for a guest on the show or want to be a guest, please email creative@oxfordroad.com. And until our next show, remember to have fun making the ads work.